no better person to talk about Greg Popovich and those sideline reports and dealing with the media than this woman, Doris Burke. DB, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
I am sitting here smiling the opportunity to talk to you guys. I can't wait.
Doris, have you ever asked Pop, this was something we were talking about this hour, have you ever asked Pop just a real dud and he looked at you like, are you kidding me right now?
Oh, yeah. I've had many, many of them. The first time I did it, Damian, it's years ago. It's the first year we're doing it. And I'm trying to prove to him how smart a basketball person I am. And that's a bad mistake. Yeah. But you want so badly for him to respect you and how you approach the game and how you prepare. But basically, I asked him a terrible question. And it ended with, what was the problem with your defense? And he hesitated for a moment, and his face went red, and he's staring at me. And I can only tell you that his answer so scared me, Damian, that I babbled my way through a second question. I was on my way back to my seat, and the producer came in my ear and said, "Do you mind if we don't run it?" And I said, "Thank you for not embarrassing me."
Wow.
It was that bad. I had one a couple years ago in the finals, and he was so upset at his team's turnovers that regardless of the two questions I asked, he said, "Turnovers, turnovers." And I kid you not, I walked back to my seat and I was on the verge of tears. And the producer came in my ear and said, "DB, you have to tell me when that blank is so funny." And I thought, it's funny to everybody but the person standing there on national TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and is there genuine heat there, Dora? Because it's uncomfortable to watch it. You've lived it. How lonely is that, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds?
I have to tell you this. There was a very long time where I gave Greg Popovich a pass on this because privately he is so kind. Mike Breen has said, "Do you mind if I ever coming out of those say to the audience how much respect he has for you?" I said, "If you do what you think is right, Mike." But it doesn't make a difference. I know that Pop respects me, and I know that he is as sweet can be off of the air. And I used to give him a pass, but I will tell you frankly, I am nearing my wit's end because he says privately, outside of the heat of the moment, that he can't help it. He's locked into the game, and he finds it such a disruption. And you both know what it is. This is a message to the league. But the reality is this. I have sat at home many nights and watched on occasion where there's no sideline reporter, and that means Jeff Van Gundy or perhaps somebody who played in the NBA goes over to Pop. And he's never that rude to the members of the NBA fraternity. And so I am no longer giving him a pass because I'm at the point where I'm saying to my bosses, why do we do this? I get it's his message to the NBA, but he is taking it out on the least powerful person on the broadcast, the sideline reporter. He either shouldn't come over, accept the fine, but to me, it's something has to change here. I really believe that. I just, it's so hard, guys. I'm not, you know, and again, I have enormous respect for him. His achievements as a basketball coach, certainly, but far more respect for who he is as a person. I don't have respect watching me and my colleagues go through this anymore. I don't.
I heard that.
Wow.
Hey, Doris, we've never spoken. My name is Ken, and this is going to be super inappropriate. I love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. But my question is, and I'm wondering, you have such a deep history with basketball, obviously a collegiate player, and you know what you're talking about. But it seems like a lot of people go from being a broadcaster to being a coach. Do you have any interest in doing that sort of thing, being a coach?
Well, my first 2 years prior to broadcasting, I was a coach. I went back to my alma mater and was an assistant coach for 2 years and absolutely loved it, Ken, to be honest with you. But I wanted to be married and have children. And you know what is required of coaches at the collegiate and at the professional level. You know, it's a 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year job. At Providence College, I was in the gym at 7 for individual workouts. I was leaving at 10 o'clock after I was done with recruiting calls. There have been many women who have pulled that off seamlessly, I did not think I could be that person, so I made the choice and fortunately got incredibly lucky to do the job that I do now, because it did afford some measure of being a mom and still having some professional existence. But I hope someday to go back to it, to be perfectly honest with you. When I'm done with this, there is something very special about working cooperatively with others and the competitive juices that flow from you know, sort of being in it and working every day toward something that's special. So the answer, that was a long-winded way of saying, yes, I do see myself at some point.
I love that. I do want to follow up. And speaking of coaches, we had a little discussion maybe about a week ago concerning Nancy Lieberman and mm-hmm. Becky Hammon, and obviously they're yes. both currently assistant coaches. I feel like Nancy deserves a shot to be a head coach. Others feel like Becky deserves a shot to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't want to split hairs on the two, but what do you think about longevity and waiting your turn to get the opportunity?
Yeah, I certainly think that both of those women, if you're talking about at the NBA level, they still have some tutoring to do, right? I mean, you know, regardless of gender, in the NBA, no one is handed a head coaching job unless you have been a long tenured player in the league, or, you know, generally speaking, opportunities come to those who have paid their dues. And I would assume that both of those women feel as though that they need more time. And I'll tell you specifically, I had an opportunity to catch up with Becky on this particular series. And I was asking her, you know, how is year two compared to year one? And she said, well, thank God the game has slowed down. She said, everything a year ago was coming at me so fast. You know, you are trying to learn different teams, how coaches coach, what their style is, players' tendencies. I mean, there is so much coming at you so fast on the NBA level. Do I believe long-term that a woman deserves a chance? Of course I do. But like every other job, you pay your dues. It takes time, sometimes frustratingly long, to get where you want to be. But there was a beautiful moment last night that I don't think was caught on camera. Halftime of the game. And out of the locker room come the Spurs. And I watched this sort of interplay between Tony Parker and Becky Hammon on the sideline. And obviously it was tough circumstances, but both were very animated. And there was clearly a discussion about some things that could change with the Spurs. And Tony was completely invested, guys, in what Becky Hammon was saying. And I just sat there, and as a, you know, a member of the distaff side, it just made me smile, because I thought, okay, she's earned her stripes. He's looking her eye to eye. He's accepting her coaching, right? And that's part of it. You have to accept coaching. And so that was special for me. It was a very special moment that I don't think was caught on camera last night.
That is cool.
It is.
I love hearing that. Thank you, Doris.
Doris Burke, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on last night's game and the series going forward with Oklahoma City and Golden State?
You know, it's interesting, Damian. We were talking before the game, you think this goes seven. A lot of people were saying we thought San Antonio was going to win. It seemed to me that, and once the game started coming every other day, I thought it was going to be very hard for San Antonio to win. It was why I thought they had to win game three in Oklahoma City, which they did. But you're just talking about two of the best players in the world. And I think an underrated aspect of this, and I was just talking to a colleague, and you know him, Kim Belton. He and I were talking about the game last night, Damian. And we said Steven Adams, he can play,
yeah.
And he is crucial to their success. And I would love to know what you guys think, and forgive me for going long here, but what do you think? Can they beat Golden State?
We were talking about the matchups earlier, Doris. If they go small, which we expect Golden State will, with Harrison Barnes on the floor, Draymond Green at the five, Andre Iguodala, Steph, Clay, I don't know how effective, because Cantor and Adams together were really, really good in this Spurs series. I don't know that they can replicate that against the Golden State Warriors.
Can they punish them on the backboards, get offensive boards, keep Golden State out of transition? This is going to be a fascinating thing, right? Because the vast majority of the NBA has decided offensive rebounds are no longer important, that they're transition defenses, so they don't send anyone to the glass. in this copycat league, if Oklahoma City dominates the offensive glass, keeps Golden State out of transition, does that give them a shot? I don't know. I just can't wait to see it. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm more excited than I was before.
That's right.
Doris, thanks for doing this on such short notice. We love you. We got to do it again.
You know you're the best, Dame. My pleasure anytime. Ken, nice talking to you as well. Be well, guys.